WOLB Baltimore and WERQ FM HD3 Baltimore, an Urban One radio station, minority controlled
and operated and serving the African American community for over 40 years.
The views and opinions of the guest and host you hear on 1010 WOLB
are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Radio One, its sponsors, or advertisers.
Beat up little seagull on a marble stand. Trying to find the ocean, looking everywhere. Hard times in the city, in a hard town by the sea. Ain't nowhere to run to.
Renovations both interior and exterior. Now, pick up the phone and call 410-728-5000. Again, that's 410-728-5000. I highly recommend J&W Brown Contracting. And a step forward, they have provided residential treatment services, mental health, and substance abuse treatment for over 20 years. Their goal, listen to this, is to return to our communities men and women who have hope and a future. Now, dial 410-462-6001. That's 410-462-6001 and ask for Dr. Campbell. And Shooting for Peace, that's a grassroots nonprofit, and they use sports and current and former athletes to teach life lessons. Stay tuned for upcoming events. And TJ, let's talk about our newest initiative on the Coach's Corner.
Yes, Briarcliff Apartment Community. For more than 50 years, Briarcliff has been the number one apartment community in Cockeysville, known for having an extensive list of features, amenities, and community first, and is conveniently located near restaurants and shopping. Briarcliff communities include 1, 2, and 3-bedroom apartment homes, many of them with dens. Call 410-316-1340 to schedule a tour now. That's 410-316-1340 to schedule a tour now. And as you always say, if you want to be a sponsor of the show, you can email us, and I'm at tjsmithmedia@gmail.com. And Coach?
Butch McAdams at yahoo.com. All right, partner TJ, before we get into the rundown segment of the show, you wanted to do a brief tribute, by all means.
Yeah, well, we have to acknowledge Captain A.J. Workman of the Baltimore City Fire Department. He passed away last week after injuries sustained in a crash as he was on his way to work. He has children, and his 12th grade son was is part of St. Francis, and he plays football for him. And it was a big article in a newspaper about the St. Francis football team and how many miles they'll be traveling this year, more than some college teams. And they went to Texas to play. Captain Workman and his wife were scheduled to join him there. He passed away tragically the morning that he was traveling there. He went. His son Makai went. Actually scored a touchdown in the game. So our prayers go out to the Baltimore City Fire Department after losing a captain tragically last week.
Absolutely. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the family, and may God bless them and wrap his long, strong, powerful arms around the family. Amen. Well, speaking of being blessed and long, strong, powerful arms, man, we need those arms around Baltimore City. And during the rundown, we're going to talk about, as well as most of our listeners are aware, tragic shootings in the past few days. And so, TJ, let's start off with the shooting at Mervo. Yeah. And it was so ironic that just a few weeks ago, We had Sergeant Clyde Boatwright on, and you and I, we both agreed that the great job that the Baltimore School Police Department does, okay, yeah. But they should be fully equipped at all times, and of course that's not, but please expound on that.
Yeah, unfortunately, late last week, a child was killed at school. Jeremiah Brogdon is his name, and he was murdered on the school grounds just at dismissal. It took place outside of the school, and apparently, according to information that's been released, the suspect who allegedly murdered him traveled from another school. He was a student at another school, left there, went there, and killed this young man. And again, it happened, I'm sure, in front of other kids, because this was just around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, if not a little earlier. The school police were on scene, so they were able to chase down the suspect, recover a gun, and apprehend the suspect pretty quickly. The question that you and I would certainly raise in a scenario like this is, if this had occurred 15 minutes sooner, it could have been inside the school where the police officers aren't able to carry their guns. But that's secondary to the fact that a child was killed on school grounds the first week of school. And of course, we'll talk about the second incident that happened in Baltimore County, just over the city line, at another school event. And again, this is the first week of school, and it's just heartbreaking. And the question becomes, what can you do about something like that, and how do you prevent it?
Well, the first thing is that we have to work with our young people on conflict resolution. Now, I know that sounds like a cliche, but it's real. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how true it is. There are rumors out that the dispute happened over a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a rumor. But if it is true, then you know the first thing come to my mind? Where's the father? Where's the father? Because a father would teach a young boy, and a mother can do it as well, but not as well as a father, can teach a young boy on life lessons as it pertains to women, the opposite sex.
Yeah, I mean,
if go ahead.
No, I was gonna. I agree with you to an extent, but we're saying not just the father, a father who understands how to be a gentleman and a good man, because an abusive father could also show a son how to react in a scenario like that. So I don't know that a father, I think a respectful parent can teach a child respect. And I think that this young person's life should be examined, that the question should be asked. This first week of school, was dismissal staggered that allowed this kid to leave the school that they were at to get to Mervo and to commit this crime? Where did the gun come from? There are so many steps that led. If that is the case, just using that as an assumption, even beyond some basic rules of engagement, it's a lot of steps that led that child to get to that point.
Well, but again, I say the father, because there's certain things, as you know. And you know it as well, better than most, because of what you're doing. But there's certain things a boy needs to hear from a man versus a woman, okay? Mm-hmm. And one of the things, if this is true, then, hey, if someone wants you, they want you. And if they don't, they don't. And you move on. You move on to find someone else.
Yep.
Okay. All right. But I don't think it's that much of a secondary issue. It is secondary because first and foremost, we're talking about two lives are ruined. One life is taken and the other life This young man should be locked. If he indeed is the shooter, he should be locked up for a long, long, long time. Long time. Okay. But just think, if the police officer had not been armed, i.e., thank God it didn't, but if it had occurred in the building and they weren't armed, boy, it could have been worse.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what we talked about with Sergeant Boatwright, where it just doesn't make sense. And we're talking about the first week of school, something like this takes place. And it's about protecting the young people and sometimes protecting them from themselves. Fortunately for the alleged suspect in this, it appears from everything I was able to listen to the call, he tossed the gun as he was running away and they took him into custody without further incident. So therefore, it's not going to be a big issue. No one's going to talk about it any longer. But we need the school police that are on premises to be able to react quickly. And if we go back to some of what was discussed where it was about the kids being traumatized, seeing a police officer with a gun in school, I think
that's the most ridiculous statement in the world.
I think they're pretty traumatized seeing a murder occur on the grounds of the school. So,
you know what, for someone to use that as rationale, to have guns, that's ludicrous. It's foolishness. It's idiotic.
Well,
it's nonsensical.
You know, because again, unfortunately the schools are a microcosm of society, and right now we have a lot of issues in the community itself, and the schools are going to absorb some of that, of course. So we saw that Councilman Stokes was questioned, would he bring back to the delegation, the Annapolis delegation, the state legislators, some more information. Can you guys change the law to ensure the school police have the equipment that's necessary to deal with a potential threat that is occurring at the school, in the school, and they're readily available to take care of it? So there's that.
And his response to me was nonchalant. Now, and I'm not saying he doesn't care, because obviously I know he does. But councilman, mayor, delegate, state senator, where is the sense of urgency? Now you correct me, because you're there. You have your finger on the pulse more than I do. But did he not have a conference and didn't mention the guns? And then when they ask him, well, why not? Well, we're going to do that next time. Am I accurate on that?
Yeah, I don't know all the circumstances behind it, but the sense of urgency was the minute that this call came out. And, you know, we can't. And here's the other thing, Coach. I'm concerned that this tragedy, and we can't underscore how big of a tragedy this is, is going to be kind of forgotten about this week as we go into the Ravens home opener, as we have the Orioles in a playoff race. They're starting a 4-game series today against Toronto.
Oh, come on, man. Don't say that. You're telling me that we have, and when I say we, the public officials, the city leaders, have become numb to this?
And sadly, I can't place this on city leaders alone. All of us have become numb to the fact that this occurs. I mean, again, there's not a march protest. I'm not the one that organizes marches and protests. That's not the thing I do. But there's not a march. There's not a protest. There's not a. I don't feel the anger. And when we talk about Black Lives Mattering.
That's a bunch of crap. Black lives only matter.
It's more than a uniformed person, doing something to somebody. We had a child killed, two children at that, killed at schools the first week of school. And this is what used to be called the safe haven.
Black lives matter for most of us only when it's taken by a white person. But does Black Lives really matter when it's taken by someone who looks like us, someone that's black? And again, where's the sense of urgency? Where is a special session? Where is a special meeting to implement? No, you can't turn things around in one day. Everyone understands that. But people should be tired of hearing, well, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. When are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? And look, if I'm mayor, okay, well, you should have been mayor, but if I'm mayor, then I would have strong front end and strong back end. The front end would be extremely strong. We're going to have strong programs. We're going to have good recreational facilities. We're going to have good athletic opportunities. We're going to have good vocational opportunities. We're going to have job opportunities for our youth, okay? We're going to put a lot of emphasis in that. But also, in the same breath, for those who choose not to take advantages of the opportunities that I will provide, and you commit a crime, we will hunt your ass down and we will prosecute you to the fullest extent. Like the old song, you may run, but you can't hide. And that's the type of stuff, A, that needs to be implemented. Not talked about, not having meetings, not having marches, but getting it implemented ASAP.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a sense of urgency. Again, it elevates it when we're talking about children and broad daylight that we have children that can operate with murdering with that level of ease. That's a major concern, and we have to put a wrinkle in that. And it's an all hands on deck. This is not picking and choosing sides. This is all hands on deck. Because it's just not fair. It's not fair to the parents, of course. It's not fair to the other children that have to witness this, and obviously, it's not fair to the educators. This is intense, and you know, and I guess that could be a great segue for us, Coach, because we had a 14-year-old, unfortunately, that was killed just blocks away from Milford Mill Academy in Baltimore County. This is just above the Beltway, and it was a football game between two high schools. And after the game, whatever took place, and two young people were shot, one of them being a 14-year-old. And this happened about 9:30 in the evening. This is the first week of school. And I can go back to when, you know, I was coming of age as a ninth grader or a 10th grader. And as a ninth grader and 10th grader, for us in Baltimore, when I went to Poly, it was the Poly City game or whatever, the Friday Night Lights. You wanted to go on your own. And go with your friends. And it did take a lot of trust for your parents to start letting you. When I went to Woodlawn, went to the basketball games and football games at night sometimes. And it was a level of trust. Mom, this is who I'm going with. And she's like, well, you better be back home at this time. I don't.
Yeah. You know, you and I kind of disagree on an issue in terms of age responsibility. If you are, 14 years old, I don't think a 14-year-old should be out at 9 o'clock if he or she is not accompanied by an adult.
Yeah.
Now, that's, you know, I may be a little old school on that, but no.
I think the people who are familiar with the area where Milford Mill Academy is, for instance, and know how many apartment complexes and homes are in that general area, well-traveled, well-lit, and your child who's 14 is going with some others. He could be about to be 15. We don't know. 14, 15, 16-year-olds, and they're going to a football game at 7 o'clock. It's going to be over at 9:30. I don't know that I would have the biggest issue walking a couple
of miles
in that area.
No.
I would
not be
more concerned about crossing Liberty Road than getting killed in that particular area.
Well, but once again, and this is me, I don't believe a 14-year-old should be out past a certain time, especially 9, 9:30, you know, without the, being accompanied by an adult. Now that's, I'm a lot more conservative than most, but that's, yeah,
coach,
you know, that's what
the
I believe.
Curfew. I thought this was the coach's corner. We got the coach's curfew.
Well, and you know what? Maybe that's not a bad idea to have a curfew.
Well,
maybe
well,
that's
actually,
not a bad idea to have a curfew.
Breaking news from your hometown, Prince George's County. Angela Alsobrooks, the Prince George's County executive, has implemented a 30-day curfew for those under the age of 17 or those 17 and under. I don't have specifics on what time that curfew is, but that's important. I'm guessing it's going to be 10 or 11 o'clock. But this is down in your neck of the woods because they've had some trouble with violence and violence among young people.
I agree. So that's, I agree with that.
Is it necessary in Baltimore to look at a curfew? But if we even look at a 10 o'clock curfew, it would not have had an impact on either
one. No. If you would no. That curfew, to me, that curfew has to be, at the latest, it has to be 9 o'clock, 8 or 9 o'clock.
Not for a 17-year-old, 8 or 9 o'clock. I think that's unreasonable. They can work. They get a work permit at 16. You can work past nine.
But there are, as you know, there are exceptions that when you know you can be out. Okay, all right, 17 or 16, but no, definitely 15 or 14. But again, this goes to show what I've always said. That things happen everywhere. Things happen everywhere. But it's how you react to it. Has Mayor Scott implemented a curfew?
There's no curfew in Baltimore that has been implemented. And, you know, again,
there you go. There you go.
The events that took place last week, the curfew wouldn't have had any impact.
No. Well,
you know,
Why do you say that?
Because we're talking, if we're looking at the young person that was killed at the school, Jeremiah, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So the curfew didn't have an impact.
That's correct. That's correct. Oh, okay.
So what's happening in Prince George's could be more of the overnight stuff or late night stuff with juveniles where I don't know that we can say that Baltimore's problem is isolated to specific times. Some people have suggested curfews, but I think just looking at things without compiling the data, the violence has been so widespread over, you know, it's not happening under the cover of darkness. It's happening in broad daylight. So,
well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. But I still don't believe that a curfew would harm anything. All right, here's the number, 410-481-1010. We want infrequent callers. We want first-time callers, okay? That's what we want. All right, I see where we have Patrick Henderson of Meet the People is online. Patrick, are you there?
You're... Yes, I am here. I have a question for TJ and you. What would happen if they put a fence around the school and create only one entrance into the school, put the magnetometer to detect metal at that first door before they get into the school? Do you think kids would think secondly about trying to bring a gun to school? And do you think that would help? And making sure that these kids don't bring guns on the school campus, sir.
Well, TJ. Thanks for the call, Patrick. And sound like Joe Clark. You got to go back and watch Lean on Me, man. It's a bit of a fire hazard if the doors are chained up on the interior. But they do secure the doors. And, again, this particular situation is not necessarily a school security issue because – a door was left unsecured. It happened outside of the school. But then fencing and turning this school into this fortress, that could be the wrong psychological play, in my opinion. And I know that sounds crazy, and there is already a lot of fencing around. But then locking it off and having this log jam of how kids enter and exit,
I just don't know if that really would be a deterrent, because they do have some different levels of deterrence. And, you know, Sergeant Boatwright talked about, yes, there were 8-15 guns taken off kids at the schools last school year, and the belief is there were probably more that just weren't recovered.
Well, you speak of psychological, sir. Psychological, psychology, and life, sir. There is, life is a bit more fragile, and kids being exposed to that kind of trauma has no good place in their lives, and you and I both know that. I just think that we cannot be, you know, get all into the ether about why it shouldn't be. But if it acts as a deterrent, and the kids know they cannot bring that gun to school, then I think the kids would feel a lot safer. I know if I was going, I would. If I knew I got to go through two magnetometers to get into the building, then I'd say, man, I ain't bringing this up. Because if they get caught with the gun, what happens to them? And I'm not going to take up any more of your time. What happens when they get caught with a gun at school? Are they arrested on the spot? Or do they just attempt to snap them on the hand and send them on their way? What happens when they're caught with a gun?
They definitely get arrested. It's what happens after they get arrested. How much accountability is there long term? What do you do with them in that long term perspective?
Well, it should be, and it's, well, Patrick, I agree with you that I think that they should have multiple metal detector situations. Yeah. Okay. And also, it should be, if anything, Patrick and TJ, automatic expulsion. So, yes, absolutely. Have multiple metal detective devices and possible prosecution, but definitely automatic expulsion. You will not ever be allowed to put your foot back in that building or on that campus again.
Mm-hmm. I don't think possible thing, Coach. I think absolute prosecution. When certain things is zero tolerance, and you bring a weapon, a gun to school, period. And going back, I'll go back to the 80s and 90s when I was in school in Baltimore City, when we couldn't carry book bags in school. We had to carry net bags, and everybody in Baltimore remembers this. Like, you had to get a net bag, and there were certain places that sold net bags, and you had your Charlie Rudo bag, and then you couldn't even put your Charlie Rudo bag in your net bag because the bag had to be see-through, and it was to minimize the opportunity for someone to conceal a gun inside their bag when you came to school. So, you know, maybe some tougher ways like that need to happen today.
Yes, sir. I would think that it would. And listen, these are our children. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get off the phone. These are our children. This is our future. What can we do to get parents to understand this? How do we get it into their heads? This is their future, not just their child's future. It's their future. You know, I come from the South, and people had kids because they know they was going to need them kids to work in them fields and to help and to take care of them when they got old. Why don't we see that and understand that now? Thank you for the call. Great show as usual, Coach and TJ. Thank you for the time.
Thank you. Well, do you think we need to go and do something very simple, but something that's very necessary, in my opinion? And have parenting classes. Classes.
Yes, man.
Okay.
And not only that, but I think anger management should be in every grade. Anger management. These kids don't know what it is. That's the other thing missing. You know, anger management.
And, you know what? And I learned something early on. And I was looking at some clips of Lean On Me, as you alluded to, TJ.
Mm-hmm.
And I was taught this, and the principal character in Lean On Me said it. No learning can take place in any environment unless there's first discipline installed.
Yes, sir.
You got to have discipline at home.
Yeah.
From day one. Okay. You can't. Discipline is something that if you don't do from the very beginning, it's going to be more difficult to do later on.
Yes, it is.
And it doesn't mean physical abuse. It doesn't necessarily mean whoopings.
Right. That's right. That's right. Talking to them and help them to understand why it's important. It's so relative. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But one thing we got to say about Lean On Me, he got results. And that's what I'm talking about.
He got results, but as he stated, he told his entire staff, nothing can be done first unless there is discipline. You have to have discipline. My father never put his hands on me except to hug me, because all he had to do, Patrick and TJ, was to give me that look.
That's my daddy too. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. In coaching, if you're coaching a team and you teach that team discipline, what is accepted, what is not, you don't have to yell and scream at the players, because, you know, all I had to do when they did something that they weren't supposed to do would look at them, and they would say, okay, coach, my bad. I'm sorry. It won't happen again.
Uh-huh.
That starts with discipline. Thanks, Patrick. Thank you, man. Always a pleasure.
Y'all have a good week. Bye-bye.
You have a better one. All right, let's go to Joe. Joe, you're up next. Coach's Corner, TJ Smith.
How you doing, Coach? And TJ, happy Labor Day to you. Let me just say this. Here's one of the problems that we're missing. What's going on in these people's homes? These young men that are committing heinous crimes, what's going on in their homes? Nobody wants to discuss that. I guarantee you their fathers are not there. Their mothers are not doing anything for them. They're just letting them do whatever they want to do. Just like that young man that killed that man down in downtown Baltimore, and the first thing his mother wanted to do, blame everybody except looking at herself. Why is your son carrying with a gun or anything like that? But it's just really ridiculous, because the thing is, if you go into them, their fathers are not there, their mothers don't care, and these young people just don't have no guidance, no leadership, no nothing, so that anything that they see out here is okay for them to do it. Now, I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to get ready to go, because I know you have a call. But remember years ago, they had at 11 o'clock for the news came on and said, it's 11 p.m. Do you know where your children are? They need to change that and say, it's 11 o'clock. Do you care to know where your children are?
Or it's 11 o'clock. Do you know where your parent is or your parents are?
You got that right, because they out in the street, too. Thank you, Coach and TJ. Have a good day.
Okay. It is very difficult. It is very difficult for a child to succeed. It's not impossible, but it's extremely difficult for a child to succeed if that child does not have proper love at home. And when I say love, love isn't always letting that child do what he or she wants to do. Love isn't always hugging and kissing them. That's a part of it. But discipline is an important component to love. And if that child doesn't have discipline at home, then the village doesn't stand a great chance.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's spot on. And that the parental responsibility is something we can't talk about enough. But we also have to be realistic and know that it just doesn't exist for some. So what do you do to fill that gap? Because it just doesn't exist.
But you can only do but so much. Okay. I mean, you certainly can have people try to step in the gap, but you can only do but so much. And for those parents, I would send a strong warning. If you don't raise your children, the system will. I'm going to say it again. If you don't raise your children, the system will. All right, let's go to the lines. Let's go to Lauren. Lauren, you're up.
Hey, how are you all? How are you all?
This is a really good conversation.
It's a really good conversation. I retired from the D.C. Police Department. In reference to putting guns in the school, I said that the police officer should have his weapon while in the school. It's as simple as that. We do that to guard money. We do that and put an armed security guard in a dollar store. These are our children, okay? All right, the officer is trained to know how to shoot and when to shoot, except for the ones down in Texas. I'm insulted by that mess. Anyway, the thing about it is this. You need to go back to the families. I teach here in the Baltimore City school system, and I shake my head. You can't put your hands on them. You can't yell at them. You can't do but so much to the children. Yeah, my principal told me we're here to raise the children and do things that we're supposed to do with the children. But when we try to do that, a lot of kids, I'm going to jump here for a minute, are bored. I teach gym class, and the first thing they want to do is play a basketball. No, PE class is about instruction, how to do things, the way games are played, not only football and basketball, but we have to learn how to, this is how you teach them. We have to put prayer back in. I'm sorry.
And Lauren, let me say this. You're absolutely right. You're speaking to another former, I'm retired,
I know,
physical educator. And, you know, I've heard some students say, I don't go to school because I'm bored. You know, I don't go to school because they're not teaching. You're 15 years old. You don't know what the hell should be taught to you. And TJ, real life is going to be, you're going to encounter some things that you're not going to be as interested in. But hold on. You're going to have some stuff that you are going to be interested in. And Lauren, you bring up a good point. A physical education curriculum is not just basketball, football, baseball, all right? It's a whole lot of stuff. And I would always tell the students at the beginning of the year, this is the curriculum. This is what, you know, this period we're going to be do a segment on, let's say, field hockey. Segment on soccer, you know, a segment, you know, we may do jump ropes, etc. Now, everything is not going to fit everyone, but eventually you're going to find something that you like, or eventually you're going to find something that you thought you didn't like that you've learned to like.
You know what? You know what? You may not like the sport of tug of war or jump rope, let's say, for example, but it's about instruction and following instruction and doing what you have to do or told to do for that segment
and also,
of your
and
life.
Also learning how to work as a team.
Yes.
That's a huge part of it. And that's part of what we're missing with all the individual attitude things going on.
Exactly.
So it's not, and, you know,
thanks, Lauren. Thank you for your contribution. Appreciate you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, 410-481-1010. 410-481-1010. Rashid, you're up next. Talk to me.
Yeah, good afternoon, Coach. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, TJ. When the shooting happened, I was on Murray's property. And I don't know if you know this, but the young man that was killed, he also played on the football team. So he has some structure in his life. Because them coaches don't play with the players on the team, which means that they're not just a football coach. They're also mentors and teachers also.
I'm telling you
how it goes down that murder with that football team. Those players are then okay. So you know, so this shooting happened right after school at dismissal time. Football coaches down at Merville, they have them players there from right after school until about 7:30 at night, which means that they keep them safe, and that's why they have them there that so long. Because okay, so when school is over with, it's weight training, and they do that for an hour and a half, and then they go to the football field, you know.
Yeah, thank you. Perspective and coach, you know, I say this, the child, the Jeremiah, was in the safe space. Someone infiltrated the safe space. And, you know, like my son, who was only 10 already, about how to drive. It's not about how good you drive.
It's about looking at the road and looking at everything else around you and some other person that can impact your driving and run into you or run a red light.
That's right. As the great comedian, and this is before your time, Jackie Moms Mabley used to always say, "We got to stop lying to the children." And they say, "Moms, what do you mean?" You first thing you teach a child, when you go out, watch the lights, watch the lights, watch the lights. Mom would say, "The heck with the lights, watch the cars. Light ain't never ran over nobody." And so you're right. It's like, and that's what angers me so greatly, in that you could do as you are, thank God, doing a wonderful job raising your son. But then someone else is doing the opposite. And so you got to worry about that.
But we as parents, and again, the quote, responsible parents aren't the issue. It's the ones who aren't involved. If we're trying to teach conflict resolution and how to navigate through it, it only goes but so far when you're dealing with someone who can't navigate through conflict. And that becomes the question that you posed as well. How do we embed it? And that's something I've been really big on, where I think schools in general, this is not a Baltimore City schools thing, schools in general aren't really teaching interrelationship type stuff. How do you navigate through relationships in general? This girl dumped me and now I don't want to hurt myself. This girl dumped me, now I want to hurt her. I want to hurt the person that she dumped me for.
And again, that's where I started. That's where, in a perfect scenario, the nuclear family, that's where a father can pull the young man aside and say, "Look, this is the real deal. If for one reason or not she doesn't want you, then she doesn't want you. You move on, son. You find someone who wants you. She's not worth it. She's not worth it."
And it needs to be taught. I'm sorry. You know, we know it's a gap. We know it's a gap in that particular arena. We need to teach. We can't sit back and say the parents or man in the house, the father, needs to instill those traits in these young people. We have to jump up and teach it, because these are the people that can harm other innocent children. Really quickly, before we go back to the lines, what works with Baltimore Police Department? I'm not going to go specific because I don't want to traumatize the family anymore. They've already been traumatized. But a particular homicide that was captured on video, I watched the young man get out of his vehicle, walk up to a corner store, and it was a robbery in progress. And one of the robbers just tugged on his shirt, and he reacted just like anyone would react by just pulling away. That moment, that young robber told the other robber with the gun, "Shoot him." And then he killed that boy over that little flinch. That's the reaction of lack of conflict resolution and ego that we're dealing with. And, you know, Nas has a song, second album, called "I Gave You Power." And he's speaking words from the perspective of a gun, and how that gun gives people power, and they think they're powerful because of that. And that's not what it is, and we have to change that mindset.
All right, let's go back to the lines, 410-481-1010. Here's your chance. And let's look at, TJ, also something that has been talked about. Are you in favor of term limits?
Yes, I've been a proponent of term limits. It's just no need to be in the same position for more than two terms, which is 8 years. It's time to move up. Or move on.
You know, I am in favor of it in some cases, but as being proposed, and I think it'll be on the ballot in a couple of months. But what you're saying, when I hear this, the first thing comes to my mind
is that, and it's a right assumption, but I'm going to say it anyway, that they don't trust the voting intelligence of the people. Because if go ahead.
No. I mean, I think that the power of the incumbency and the fact that you know that the money is going to flow to the incumbents, especially in some of the lower contested races. I say lower, talking about when you get into the council type races versus mayor, it becomes an issue. It becomes a real issue. And you can't be a grassroots person that can break through. It's not as easy. And whether it's two terms or three terms, and I look at it more from a consecutive standpoint. So if you have to sit out for a cooling off period, and then you want
that's ridiculous. Move on. A cooling out period? No.
I say that where if you want to run for delegate, if you want to run for something else, council president, if you're a council person, you move up the ladder. But this is how you get career politicians. And they get so ingrained in just being a politician, and some might forget the constituent service is part of their job because they're so ingrained.
Again, when I hear term limits, the first thing that comes to my mind, hey, y'all saying that the people are voting in an unintelligent manner, okay? Because now I can see if you're going to have, let's say, a term limitation, which here in D.C. we don't have, but if you're going to have it, you know, three terms, all right? And then who wants to be, let's say, a mayor more than three terms anyway? Okay, more than three terms. All right, but two terms I don't think is enough. I would like to see three terms across the board. I would like to see the presidency three terms. Let the people decide who they want. It was a conversation on Patrick's show, and they were talking about the race for the courts with Xavier Washington / Conaway. My thoughts on that is the people voted for. And if very few people who vote, very few percentage are voting based on a record. People vote based on how they look, how they talk, who they're married to, who they're related to. Unfortunately, that's the history of politics. And so I would say with this young man, give him an opportunity. He may be the best thing. He could be your future mayor. Give him an opportunity. And I don't look at it as deception. If it were legal, and I've not heard anything that it was illegal, then hey, why not?
And just a quick reset for the listeners who might not have heard the earlier segment or aren't familiar with this. Xavier Washington Conaway is part of the infamous Conway family here in Baltimore, and he apparently had gone by the name Xavier Washington for many years, and just in the past year or two started using Xavier Conway, knowing that that name was going to carry a lot more weight on the ballot. It was challenged by some competitors of his for that position of clerk of the court, but I don't think it went anywhere. You know, it can ultimately work if there are some records that indicate that is in fact a name that you have used. So that is what it is. That's a whole nother conversation that we can take a turn on for sure. I don't know. I'm okay with term limits. I don't know that that's I think people can get complacent if they're in office too long.
Again, people, Not certainly not you, but I think a lot of people use term limits because they don't want to, especially folks who have a platform, they don't want to critique the political performances. You know, as I've been stating for years, you hear during election time, voter registration, get out to vote. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. But how many of the people have a microphone actually say, look, I can't tell you who to vote for mm-hmm. or who not, but here's the records of candidates A, B, C. Okay? But you don't hear that. And it's okay to make an endorsement. There's no rule that says you cannot endorse a candidate on a show. Now, some people choose not to because they say, well, if I endorse this person, well, the other person that won't come on the show. So what? They're still going to come on the show if you've got a large listening audience because they want to get their perspective across. So, all right, 410-481-1010. Let's go back to the lines. Bill, you're up.
Yes, good afternoon. Good afternoon. I wanted to tell you this. You were talking about the fellow who shot this young fellow in for a girlfriend or something. I tell you, you got to tell your kids right off the top. Look, tell them right off the top. This case here. Now he shot and killed that boy. Now the boy's going to the grave. He's going to jail, and she's going to marry somebody else. I mean, you know, it's pitiful.
And once again, I agree with you. And also, once again, you know, you don't want anyone that don't want you. I mean, I don't understand people hurting people or in this case, shooting somebody because, hey, you took my girl.
Can't nobody take nothing from you?
She wanted to go.
This music you got out nowadays is one thing. It's causing a lot of confusion to these kids. I turn on TV one. Just turn it on. Give me a poke. I turn one channel. I see one guy holding a gun to the guy's head. Now I turn and then I turn up. I come right back about an hour. I watch TV again. And have another guy with another gun holding somebody's head.
You know what?
Ready to shoot somebody. I mean, all day long these kids are being bombarded with somebody blowing somebody's head off. I mean, we're bombarded with the movies. Oh. And then you got the rap. Well, it's pitiful. And as far as what you were talking about changing presidents
every 4 years, if you have
I couldn't dress Trump for another 4 years or another 8 years. I'm glad we have a 4-year test term. America needs a fresh
start. But you know what happened to Donald Trump? They voted him out, so that's what they do. All right, thanks for the call. All right, we're down to the wild. Let's see if we can get one or two more in. Matthew. All right, Matthew, you're up next. Matthew.
Yes, sir. How are you? Yes. I wanted to make a comment on it. The gentleman has just left kind of stole part of my point right out of my mouth. When I was a kid, they showed movies, westerns, was what we mostly saw on TV that had violence. And that was the Long Ranger shooting the pistol out of the guy's hand. They had a predominantly white audience at that time. And so as we go on now, like the gentleman said, is that we see these type of things now. We monitor our children, we should have as much as control as possible, but the telephone, though, are so widespread, it's very difficult to do that. But what point I really wanted to make was that we can have organized organizations like the Nation of Islam and the veterans. There are certain people we have within our own people that know what to do so far as security. And we should seek to give them the business because they have a proven track record. You know, like the Moors.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So
I don't have a problem with that. All right, thanks for the call.
Okay, but you know what I'm saying. All right.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, again, I want to emphasize this point. And this is a real life situation. It was a young man that lived, this was a few years ago, about 4 or 5 doors down from me on my block. got up one morning after doing the morning show, looked outside, and it was nothing but police officers there. And I called my neighbor and I said, man, you know, next door, I said, man, what's going on? He told me that they were barricading, looking for this person to come out because he had went and he didn't kill anybody. I don't believe he killed anybody, but he injured some people. And he went to allegedly, reportedly, his girlfriend's work. And first thing that I said, and my neighbor who is, you know, in my age demographic, man, I wish he had come and talked to us. Again, if someone doesn't want you, they don't want you. Let them go. Why would you want to force someone? And look, as Jay-Z used to say, you know, and I heard people say it before he coined it years ago. I may have a lot of problems, but, you know, getting a date ain't one.
Go ahead. That part of conflict resolution is one part. What we've seen has been global. I mean, just the sheer level of disrespect. You bumped into me, and that turns into violence. You looked at me wrong, and that turns into violence. The relationship part is just a tiny segment of the overall thing.
Again, what is wrong? Let's go. And again, it's mindset. The mindset. If you know, back in my day, okay, you go out, you accidentally bump into someone. Hey, bro, my bad. I'm very, very sorry. All right. If you are with a lady and you go to the men's room and you come back and the guy's trying to talk to her, and then you come back and it, now it's clear that she's with you, the guy would say, hey, bro, I'm sorry. I thought she was by herself.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't be any issue because the mindset was, hey, you don't want somebody that nobody else wants.
Well, we got to be okay today. And I think it was Bernie Mac who said it in the Kings of Comedy. We got to be okay with being a punk. And you walk away, but you live to fight another day because it ain't worth it. And I'll say this real quick. I know we're getting to the end, but the Nation of Islam is very involved today. They're an intricate part of the We Are Our Us movement, and they've been very consistent for the past couple of years. And, you know, Pastor Marvin McKinstry and many others, I don't want to name drop them or forget people, but they have a Stop the Beef hotline. They are on the ground meeting young people where they are and trying to get in the middle of these conflicts because that is where it is. Pause, cool off, and think.
Yeah, and we are flat out of time, but I just got a text saying that the word is that Brother Ellsworth Bay has transitioned. Brother Bay, just a great guy. Man, we'd have many conversations. I would see him over in D.C. He's well-respected over in D.C. and Baltimore. May God rest his soul. But I just got word that Brother Ellsworth Bay has transitioned. Hey, TJ, another great job. Appreciate you, Sean. Always bang, bang, as always. Thank you. And folks, thanks for joining us here on this Labor Day Monday. Join us next Monday, same time, same station, the Coach's Corner with TJ Smith. Yours truly, Coach Butch McAdams. Be safe, be blessed. Make good decisions because life is hard, but it's even harder when you're stupid. We're out.
Peace.